In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly.
Christos voskrese.
Christos voskrese.
We're reading from John from Pascha onwards now. And John is way different than the other Gospels. The other Gospels are basically a historical record and more or less in some sort of chronological order. And they all are very similar. They have similar things in them. And they're about the God-man Jesus Christ, about his personality. But John did something completely different. John wanted to reveal the God-man Jesus Christ to us in a mystical way. He wanted us to learn the spiritual way of life. So really, his gospel is more an instruction in how to live. There are historical things in it, although John is not as careful with the history as the other evangelists were. His history is really different because he's got things in there that nobody else has. And this is one of the things, the Samaritan woman sitting by the well and speaking with the Samaritan woman. We know her name, Fotini, Svetlana, or Clara. This conversation is here because John had known of the other Gospels and he knew this needed to be there. It's needed to be there because it is not as much a historical account, although it is that. It's not as much a conversation, although it is that. It is talking about how God reveals himself to the soul. That's what this is about. I want so much for all of you to really listen to me and do what I tell you. Read the Bible every day. Read the Gospels every day. I know they're tough. They were tough for me in the beginning. They're still tough, but in a different way now. You got to read them. And when you don't understand stuff, you got to keep reading it. And maybe get commentaries if you want good commentaries, not crummy ones from Protestant bookstores, but get good stuff because there is stuff out there. And read the gospel. But don't read the gospel just because it is something that is to be learned as if it's a textbook. It's not a math textbook. It is about how to save our souls. It is about God revealing himself to us. That's what's happening now, by the way. That's the whole purpose of liturgy, is for God to reveal himself to us in all of the service and also especially in the partaking of the holy mysteries. That's why we should come to liturgy. Fortunately, I think most people don't have that idea. Liturgy is something, well, you do it on Sunday because my mom and dad did it on Sunday, and it's just sort of something you do. But the divine liturgy is significantly different than every other worship service we have because it is where we are trying to stand in the presence of God, in the presence of fire and light, and to partake of his body and blood, and for him to reveal himself to us internally, not externally, but from the inside, with the Holy Spirit speaking to us words that can't even be understood in any language, but only the language that God speaks to us in our souls. That's why you should be here at liturgy. That's why you should be reading the gospel. And really all of the books of the Bible, but the other books of the Bible are more explanatory and background and such. They're all important, but none of it matters if you don't meet God. None of it matters if God is not felt in your soul. That's the whole purpose of your life, for God to reveal himself to you, for you to become like him and know him intimately. And St. John's gospel is very intimate. This is a very intimate conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And although it has there's lots of theological asides we can go through about speaking with a Samaritan woman and speaking with a woman for that matter, because it wasn't really something that was done in that society, a single man to be speaking with a woman. And lots of other things, and about the Samaritan heresies, because they were basically Jewish heretics, if we want to put it in a crude way, all that stuff. And that's important to know, and I know it because I've been reading about it, and I've been studying, you know, the fathers and such, and so that background's in there. And that background eventually should get in you too. But we don't have time to talk about that background and also talk about the most important part, that this is God speaking with the soul. Every day, God is trying to speak to you. He's trying to reveal himself to you. And you should be seeking him, especially in prayer, in reading of the scriptures, especially the gospels, and in the divine liturgy, and partaking of the holy mysteries as often as you can. Really, all of you should be trying to take the holy mysteries every Sunday. There's really not a good reason for you not to be doing it. Now, there might be an impediment to be able to be doing it, but there's not a good reason just to come to liturgy, to come to a heavily laden table, and to have a cracker. That's not what you do when you come to a feast. When you come to a feast, you partake of the good foods. And the good food that God wants to give us is his own flesh and his own blood, so that we can be illuminated from within. So let's talk about this reading in the context of God speaking with the soul. There's things that God will do, and there's things that you must do, or else you won't get it. And as a priest now for 23 years, I've seen that a lot of people don't get it. Religion is something that is formal to them. There's nothing formal about our religion. We have vestments, and we have fasting times, and we have all those things that people think of as formalities. Nothing whatsoever is formal. Is it formal? The love parents have for their children, is that a formality? Of course not. The parents want to give everything they can to their child, not in a formal way, but because of love. And this is our relationship with God. He wants to give us everything, which is himself, but not in a formal way, because of love. But we have something in the way, and what's in the way is our sin. And with sin comes ignorance, and with sin comes confusion. And we can see these things in this discussion. So this woman, the city of Samaria, she's a Jewish heretic, basically, as I said. And she's not doing the right thing. She's not living the right kind of life. She's had five husbands. Now she's living with a man in fornication, but she had a good soul. Saint Fotini is one of my favorites, because she really had a very noble soul. So she wasn't doing the right thing at the time. And God doesn't really care about that. God cares about where's your heart. If a person's heart is oriented towards God, God will find a way to reveal himself to you in a way that you're going to find him. But if a person's heart is not oriented towards God, if life is just something formal, or if people just live in the here and now, then they won't notice. God will try to reveal himself, and you won't see him. Many of you know that one of my favorite things to talk about in this particular story is to contrast it with the Gergesenes demoniac. So here there's Samaritans who are heretics. They hear about the Messiah from somebody who's saying, you guys don't worship right, but we do. And they beg him to stay for 2 days, and they learn, and then they realize he's the Messiah. There were other cities in Samaria who did not do that, but this one did. And then in the Gergesenes region, the demons were cast out of the two men, and the pigs went into the pigs, and the pigs all were lost. And the people came out afraid and said, please leave us. Their sin had been revealed. The Samaritan woman's sin had been revealed. They acted completely differently. One was oriented towards God, and one wasn't. It's a terrible contrast, and one you should take to heart. We have to be oriented towards God. We have to desire union with him. Nothing in your life should be formal about God. Now, you should have a routine and a rule, because otherwise you don't get anything done. But you should absolutely cultivate this love for God in your heart. If you don't have it, then work at it. Say your prayers, fast better than you're fasting now. Come to the services, come to confession more often. Come to the Holy Eucharist as often as you can. Believe that God indeed wants to reveal himself to little old you, just as much as the great saints. And so here Fotini is coming to draw water at a very weird time of the day, at noon. Nobody in their right mind is going to draw water at noon when it's hot. Unless, of course, you're living with a man that's not your husband. So here she is in the midst of sin, in the midst of confusion, probably not exactly a very popular person. That's why she went when no one was there. And Jesus Christ is there. Jesus Christ will always put himself in your life. He'll always put himself in your path. But many times we don't recognize him. So here is a stranger, a Jew, who shouldn't be talking to a woman and certainly wouldn't want to talk to a Samaritan woman because, of course, they're unclean to the Jews. The Jews were not very kind about Samaritans at all. But here is Jesus in her path. She doesn't know it yet, right? And he starts speaking to her, says, "Give me water." She says, "You're a Jew. Why would you even talk to me?" And then he tells her, "If you knew who it was who was asking you, you would ask and he would give you living water." Do you know what that is? Everybody should know what that is. This is basic biblical literacy. That living water is the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus used the image of just getting water every day. Everybody needs to get water from the well and water their animals and use it for cooking and for drinking and for bathing. Everybody needs water. But the water that you use today is in the gutter tomorrow. But this living water springs out of us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Jesus is telling her in this conversation, and I won't go into it blow by blow because it'll take too long. He's telling her that I can offer you this Holy Spirit because I have the power to do it because I'm the Messiah. I am God, and I am fully anointed with the Holy Spirit as a man, and as God, have the power to send forth the Holy Spirit to you. And they just could discuss various theological matters. She's rather confused. I really like this conversation because it really is just like me, just like you. There's a lot of stuff we don't understand. There's a lot of confusing stuff in the world. I get confused all the time about stuff, about how people act, about how I act. It's confusing to me. And there are theological mistakes. There are moral mistakes. There are just being thick-headed, not understanding stuff, getting too tired, getting down, etc., etc. That's the human condition. So Christ is encountering this human condition. A woman who's with a man who's not her husband and who's confusing theological ideas and certainly is not having a very good life at the moment. But he's encountering this human condition and he's talking directly to her, only to her. And that's what he does. He talks to you, only to you. You don't have to worry about what he's saying to other people. He's speaking to you and me. And he says to her, "I have the living water." And she's very interested in this idea. The idea of not having to go to the well to draw is really enticing. But she thinks of it only in a physical way. And he's telling her it's spiritual. That he's offering her this way of life that leads to eternal life. With the Holy Spirit, the water springing up to us. So they continue to discuss, and of course I've already told you she didn't have a husband and she'd had five husbands, but this comes up later in the conversation after he's already said, "You don't even know how to worship, right?" And then he says, "Go call your husband." And she of course says, correctly but incompletely, "I don't have a husband." I mean, what are you going to say to a stranger? You're going to say, "Well, actually, no, I'm actually, you know, shacking up right now." You're not going to say that to a stranger, right? You're just going to say, "I don't have a husband." She didn't lie. But she didn't tell the whole truth. Of course, he knew the whole truth, and he immediately told her and rebuked her. Now, 99 out of 100 people are going to say, "How dare this stranger, who thinks he's got such a better religion than mine and everything else, how dare he talk to me that way?" And would have just gone off. But she saw partially, a little bit, about him when he spoke to her that way. She said, "You're a prophet." Of course, that's true, but that's incomplete. He's more than a prophet. And so they talk a little bit more. And she's just I know what's happening in her heart, the same thing that happened on the road to Emmaus when they said our heart burned within us. They didn't understand completely. Jesus is walking with them, and they don't really know he's Jesus, but there's something special about this person. And he's telling them all these beautiful things. And yet, 3 days ago, their hope for life died on a cross. Naked and bloody. So they couldn't believe he was Jesus. It didn't even enter their minds because of their confusion, of their grief. But their hearts burned. Her heart was burning. Guarantee it. Your heart has to burn. Even though you make all kinds of mistakes and do dumb things and have confusion, you gotta have a heart that burns. That's Christianity. And if you have a heart that burns, God will enlighten you. And that's what he did with her. And so she goes away and calls all of her countrymen and women. That was a difficult thing to do. I mean, she wasn't a popular person. Remember, she said, he told me everything I ever did. Well, what are you going to say? Usually if somebody says something like that, you say, what? She's going to have to explain. And then the rest happens. And there's much else in this reading that is very good, all about the fields that are white for harvest and so many other incredible things. But basically, this is about, in the midst of your human condition, your sin, your confusion, your just being messed up. I hope you all think you're messed up, because we all are. But God can unmess us up. He's the only one who can. In the midst of all that, God is speaking to you. Are you listening to him? He's offering you the living water, the Holy Spirit, to spring up within your heart, to enlighten you in all things. But you gotta do the work. You gotta listen. You gotta be willing to humble yourself when you find out you're doing things wrong. You gotta try to have some sort of discipline. You gotta pray, especially for the people that you don't like, for your enemies. You gotta read the scriptures, even though some of you tell me they're so hard, I don't understand them. The first chapter of Matthew, and I don't understand all the names even, and I'm done. You've got to keep going. And expect God to speak to you, because he wants to. That's why he made you, to speak to you, and to have your heart burn with love for him, even in the midst of confusion. So this woman, she converted, even in the midst of her confusion. Somehow, that light got through to her, but she was willing to listen. So that's what you got to do. It's really a beautiful conversation. It is God revealing himself to the soul. He reveals himself to us where we are. Not where we should be, but where we are. But if he reveals himself, we better go to where we should be. You see, you can't just be stuck in sin and confusion when God reveals himself to you. You have to have some sort of ascendancy to something better. That's what's happening now. Or should be happening now in your life. It's a very beautiful thing. That's why I love John above all the Gospels. You know, people play the game. If you were on a desert island, how many books would you keep? You know, if you only could have 10 books. What about if you could have one gospel? Hands down, it's John. It's the hardest gospel. It's very hard to understand. He especially drives me crazy where his sequence of events is so confusing. It's really hard to figure out what's going on when. But he's not so concerned about sequence of events here. He's concerned about telling you about living a spiritual way of life, that God wants to reveal himself to you personally, and that he will reveal himself to you if you listen and if you react. That's what this story is telling us. I think it's absolutely tremendous. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I think it should be one of yours too. Now, if there are things that I've said, because I've said some theological things and kind of just glossed over them, that you don't understand, then get to understanding them. Start reading. You could get Blessed Theophylact's commentary. That's a good help. You can get it online in Russian. And you can buy it in English. And start to read the Gospels with desire and an intention. The same exact intention that you should have now. And that is to meet God, to be in his presence, for him to fill you, to have the living water ever in you. Glory be to God that he wants to speak to us poor souls with all of our sins and all of our confusion, all of our ignorance. He wants to come to us. He wants to reveal himself to us. Let's listen a little bit better. Christ is risen.